This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Singer-songwriter Amy Rigby says she's been a mod housewife ever since 1993, when she decided she was not going to get down on her hands and knees and scrub the bathroom floor unless she could get up on stage and sing about it. She didn't want to fight about sex and laundry with her husband unless she could turn it into a song. Amy Rigby describes her CD, Diary of a Mod Housewife, as a collection of songs she wrote as an accompaniment to daily life. The CD was on the top 10 list of the Village Voice annual end-of-the-year critics poll. Before going out on her own, Rigby performed in the postmodern girl group The Shams and the cowpunk group Last Roundup. We'll meet Amy Rigby after we hear her song, We're Stronger Than That.
When we made our vows to heaven hold, we never thought about how love grows old. Well, even healthy trees run out of sap. Baby, we're stronger than that. And when I look at you, I see too much. I try to walk away when things get rough. But every time I do, I come right back. 'Cause baby, we're stronger than that. We're stronger than the fairy tales, diaper pails, lack of heat, urge to cheat, shattered hopes, tired jokes, doctor bills, urge to kill. And when we have another argument.
Amy Rigby, welcome to Fresh Air.
Hi.
The song that we just played, We're Stronger Than That, I think that's a really good song. Not a lot of rock songs I can think of have the word diaper pails in it. Are these songs different from the songs that you sang with earlier bands that you performed with?
Yeah, in that they have more references to kind of humdrum, real life things as opposed to fantasy or... the glamour of being, like in The Shams, it was a little more glamorous, I guess, being a young woman on the go. Yeah, there's more specifics, I guess, in the songs on my album.
In your liner notes, you say that your favorite subjects like making a living, having a family, and trying to keep a sense of humor through all of that aren't really popular subjects in the bohemian ghetto where you had performed. Had you tried singing about subjects like this?
Well, actually, The Shams used to do a song in the set that I didn't write, but that was called 3 a.m., and it was about, it's only sort of 3 a.m., the baby's waking up again. And people really responded to that song. But in the rock world, it's not sexy to be over 30 and be talking about things like that. And it's kind of like it's better to pretend that that doesn't exist, because it might turn off the 18-year-old boys that buy records. So
do you feel like you had a breakthrough as a songwriter in trying to write songs that actually reflected real life for you?
Well, I've always tried to do that, but I think it probably reached a point in my life and in my writing ability where, and also a feeling of freedom, of not needing to get an okay from other band members, where I really could just write in my own voice. And so all the elements came together and I was able to do it just without any fear or worries about what the outcome was going to be, just feeling free to express something.
Let me get in another song here, and this is a song called Knapsack. And this isn't exactly a song about, living in a committed relationship or being a mother. It's a song about having a crush on someone who works in a bookstore. Is there a story behind the song?
Well, I do a lot of temp work in New York City, and I'm sent to different offices in different neighborhoods, and I happen to be in a new neighborhood, and I always stake out where's the bookstore. And so the bookstore, I started going in there at lunchtime and noticing that there was a bag check guy there. And so, yeah, it was just a little fantasy I had about him. And then, I mean, it's just like it says in the song, and then I had to leave the job, and I'd never spoken to him, but he just seeing him every day kind of gave me a little lift.
Okay, this is Amy Rigby from her album Diary of a Mod Housewife, and this is Knapsack.
He took my knapsack just inside the revolving door. It was a bookstore where I'd never been before. Wasn't looking for anything more than a book, but I looked. Isn't that what eyes are for? Studied biographies, I checked out the magazines. My mind kept leading me back to his face. I'd seen something about him, made me feel 17. Stop. So I'm not. Isn't that what minds are for? Now every day I can't wait to see him. I'm gonna ask his name. But every day I hand him my bag and everything remains the same.
It's Amy Rigby from her CD Diary of a Mod Housewife. Now, you were telling us that you wrote this because you're a temp and you're always getting moved to different neighborhoods. What kind of temporary work do you do?
Like administrative assistant, answering phones, word processing, and, shuffling papers from one desk to another, that type of thing.
Since you do so much temp work, do you ever have trouble showing up for your own gigs at night? And here's the reason why I ask. So many rock concerts start at, 10 in the evening, and it's as if they just assume that no one in their audience could possibly have to go to work the next day. And I'm talking about weekday night concerts. How do you show up for your own dates and then go to work the next day?
Well, it's kind of like being a parent in a way, in that you just find the energy somewhere to keep going. And for financial reasons, if I have to work, I've got to do that. But nothing is going to stop me from going and playing a show. I don't care if I don't eat. I don't care if I don't sleep. I don't care if I get to see Seinfeld or not. I'll just do it because I have to. And I can't wait to get up and play. So whatever it takes. And I'm a very good temp, Like, I don't need any of my mental, I don't need much of my brain to answer somebody's phone or type their letter. It's almost, unfortunately, it becomes almost relaxing in a way to do somebody else's work. And there's like a little trap there, because sometimes, I feel myself feeling very comfortable going into a temp job.
My guest is Amy Rigby. Her new CD is called Diary of a Mod Housewife. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with singer-songwriter Amy Rigby. Let's hear another song from your CD, Diary of a Mod Housewife. And you've described this CD as almost being a journal of a couple of years in your life. The song we're going to hear is called Downside of Love. What was happening in your life when you wrote this song about the downside of love? about things that you feel when the relationship is in the downswing side.
Well, I guess it just seemed so mysterious to me, like, why, when your friends get married and everyone's always so excited and hopeful, and so, like, they're all there at your side when you're getting together with this other person. But when things aren't going so well, it's like you're not allowed to talk about it. And I found that, I'm a blabbermouth. I like to talk about what's going on in my life, and I found it to be very lonely, to want someone to tell me how to do things better or something, and just kind of being, feeling like it wasn't okay to really talk about it with other people. I mean, you know, there's always the sessions with a couple female friends where you sit around and complain, but in general, it feels really kind of lonesome, and that was what inspired me to write this song.
I think it's a really good song. Why don't we hear it? This is Amy Rigby.
We get a little morose, been a little too close to the downside of love.
That's Amy Rigby, The Downside of Love, from her CD Diary of a Mod Housewife. Amy, tell me about the bands you were in before, and what your persona was like in those bands, what you were like on stage, what kind of songs you sang.
Well, my first band, Last Roundup, I was really pretty shy. I was the rhythm guitar player in the gingham dress, you know, kind of in the back of the stage, singing some harmonies when I could work up the nerve to do that. But writing
songs. And this was what, a country type of band?
Yeah.
An urban country band?
Yeah, kind of like a honky-tonk band, no drums. Kind of sounded a little like the Hank Williams records.
Mm-hmm.
But I found myself just inspired to write songs, so it was good for me. It was like I was making music, but I wasn't having to put myself like too much out there, and then the Shams, then I had a baby and started, you know, feeling a little less shy, and the Shams started playing, and we were three women friends who loved to sing together, and most of our time was spent just hanging around a kitchen table laughing and talking, and every now and then we'd rehearse a little bit, and that's kind of what we carried onto the stage with us, was just kind of our our camaraderie. And so, and the songs that I was writing then were just kind of inspired by the sound of our voices and the things that we could do arrangement wise, and so there I was taking a little more of a leadership role. I was feeling a little more comfortable or compelled to do that.
A lot of your songs are autobiographical, and many of the songs on your new CD are about, as you put it, the downside of love, the downside of a relationship. And your marriage broke up toward the end of the production of this record. I'm wondering how, if you don't mind my asking, how your ex felt about these, you know, pretty personal songs that one could assume involved him in some way. You know, one could assume it was about your relationship with him.
Well, you know, in retrospect, I feel like I was really pretty selfish about it. It never occurred to me when I started performing these songs in public, how much they might hurt him, or because I guess I thought that they're songs, they're not real life. They're songs, and so. But I think, you know, now I'm aware that it can be really painful to, you know, it was my choice to get up on stage and sing about what was going on in my life, but it wasn't his choice for me to do that. So, you know, that's, I think that it's was pretty painful. But I don't know, it just felt necessary to me. But, you know, I probably wouldn't try to save a relationship that way again. I don't think it worked, you know, as far as that goes.
Do you feel like you were trying to save the relationship through the songs you were writing?
I think that I had such a hard time speaking directly in my relationship, and then I found, oh gosh, you know, when I put it in a song, it kind of, like, everyone can really understand what I'm saying, you know, everyone being, you know, an audience, but, you know, and I guess I thought that would apply to him as well, but I don't think, you know, that it really worked that way.
Is there a particular song you're thinking of where you felt like there were things you could say in a song that you had trouble saying and being understood about if you said it in person, in life?
I guess, well, for example, Don't Look at Me in That Tone of Voice. I mean, it's kind of a humorous song. But I guess I sort of... I meant it when I said it in the song that I felt like we never really talked, but now in retrospect and I think I've understood this really because a lot of you know, men don't feel put off by my record, like they're being put they're being bashed. I feel like I was kind of just as guilty of not talking. So, you know, it's kind of all the songs kind of, when I look at them and think I was saying, you know, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Now when I look at them and the words and stuff, I can see that I was talking to myself just as much as to him. So, you know, I've learned a lot.
Well, Amy Rigby, thank you for talking with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Amy Rigby's CD is called Diary of a Mod Housewife. This Sunday she performs in Boston, and next week she'll be at the South by Southwest Music Conference in Austin, Texas.